I'm out of pop. Time to open the next one. Wait, that's the wrong thing. That's
April Fools!
That's my Rabbit Tank sparkling bottle I just bought today.
Do you like your April Fools, E.G.?
The fool is that it's January.
Who's the fool now?
Still are you sure it's January?
Yeah, are you sure that I just didn't knock you up for 3 months?
The real fool is that because of global warming, April is now winter.
It's still winter in April. Oh, yeah. God. All righty.
They kept saying winter is coming, but what they should have said is winter is never going away.
You know what else is never going away? The roll call!
We're live! Zenkaigan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Equipment Wielder. Blue Caster. Cheetah's Zeal.
Explorer from the Unknown. Yellow Caster. Auto Guard.
From Royal to Ranger. Horn Caster. Noble.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Welcome one and all to episode 180 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
180?
Yep. It's funny because it's episode 180 and we're in 2018. Those have the same numbers, kind of.
It's funny, it's episode 180 and there's only 3 people on tonight.
Wow.
So, Pink Caster is sick because he and I both bought our Rabbit Tank sparkling bottles and the stupid bastard decided to drink the Smash Essence right out of it.
You fool!
So he's quickly achieved the movie-exclusive form of Rabbit Tank vomiting. Dreamcaster was going to join us, but she has had a busy school day and she's very tired. So she was on extra with us, so she'll be joining us next week, hopefully.
I'm here because I have issues.
Like with the show or with your life or comic issues?
A little bit of all. I have about 20 pounds of comic issues.
As in issues with comics or actual issues of comics?
Actual issues of comics. I have about 20 pounds of comic books.
I have 20 pounds of issues.
Well, I have that too, but that's a different kind of issue.
Don't we all? Alright, so this week, since Toku took a break over the holidays, we don't have to do another double episode special, even though we took 2 weeks off. So this week, we are talking about Build, episode 17, Q-Ranger, episode 44, and the Q-Ranger movie, The Geth Indaver.
Strikes Back.
Because, you know, there's not enough Star Wars in that movie yet.
Oh my god. We'll get to that.
Oh no. They even make a fucking Star Wars reference in the movie, or at least the subs do.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that. So, let's talk about Build! So, despite the fact that Soichi is not in this episode at all, I just imagine he's somewhere off-screen wringing his hands and going, "I know how to stop those kids!" Proceeds to cancel internet service at the cafe.
Well, I mean, technically he's in there because there's fucking Bloodstark.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean.
Not Soichi.
He's only, like, in, like a 5-second scene.
Well, yeah, because he calls his lady scary. Because she is.
I wonder if he's into that. I wonder if they're smashing.
And he's just
I wonder if
suit.
He smashes that.
Yeah.
I smash that.
I still think I'm getting more and more firmly believing that Bloodstark is just playing everyone and he's gonna try and obtain the power inside of the box for himself.
Hey Gentoku. See that? See him over there? Yeah. I'd smash that. Hard.
I'd hard smash that.
I smashed that hard.
Yeah, that's a bottle I want now. Damn it. Bet you it's going to be fucking premium Bandai, too.
But seriously, oh my god, the fucking Hard Smash Trio are amazing, and I want the Castle and Owl bottles.
I only want a Castle bottle because I want to get the Orange bottle. Oh, Castle and Orange would be the greatest best match for the Orange. It's the Orange Caster best match.
There you go.
Oh. Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
You made it funny.
I try.
So, we're definitely in, like, arc two of the show now, because not only is there no opening, but the show opens on actual fucking war!
Oh, yeah, war.
Soldiers and robots just fighting and shooting at each other. I'm just like, holy shit!
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Can we talk for a second? Why does Hokuto have Smash of their own? I think this was a whole mislead, because up till now, the idea was that Faust and the Smash only existed in Toto. But it's pretty safe to say now that everyone has been lying to each other and that they all have Smash and Nebula Gas and Faust-type organizations.
Well, yeah, because the gas emits from the fucking walls.
Yeah.
Or there's my theory that Bloodstark has been working with all three nations and he's just playing them like puppets.
I could absolutely see that. And we have more pointing to that, seeing as he's hanging out with Miss Blue Beret over there now.
You sure it's not a raspberry beret?
No, that'll be the red one.
I feel like that's an innuendo that we're not getting.
It's a song.
So they talk about how the six panels of the Pandora box are assigned to two each for the three countries, and that each of the panels requires the 10 bottles, which means there are 60 bottles in total. So not only now do we have confirmation on why 10 bottles being a significant number is a thing, but now we know that there are in fact 60 bottles total. Which means this is absolutely devolving right where I thought it was going, and the series is becoming a battle to collect all of the bottles to put on the box, exactly as I predicted.
Kamen Rider, yep. Armada.
Get all the mini-cons.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's accurate.
So the government breaks into Nashta, kicks over all their shit again, and pretty much drags Sento and Banjo into the government office and says, "You're conscripted, bitches!
You work for the government now."
Gintoku's a good guy now because he's the lesser of many evils, I guess.
Weren't we trying to fight you a few episodes ago? Nobody remembers.
Didn't you just get arrested?
Yeah, didn't you just get arrested?
Right?
More or less, didn't you just lose your job?
How was the spanking?
Yeah. Yeah, lost his job and got arrested. Still in charge.
Because Stark killed everyone involved with that.
Man, who knew YouTube was in charge of Hokuto?
Oh no!
It's sad, but true.
Violations occurred, and we are refining our content creator policy.
It's not run by YouTube, it's run by Fausttube.
Oh, right. See you next time, that, if you were alive.
Yeah, that thing that existed for
one episode.
One video.
Yeah. So,
I think they're the same thing now. I think Fausttube is YouTube.
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
Just look at their demographic now.
Yeah. So, Hokuto talks about their secret weapon, and we see her trying to fake an alliance with the guy from the Red Country, Sato. Although, not only did we immediately predict that she was lying, but she starts talking about it immediately after he quote-unquote hangs up the phone with Stark. And I just would love it if the case were that he hadn't actually hung up, he just, like, turned off his hologram and he was listening to her.
Oh, 100%, I think that's exactly what happened.
That's entirely possible. We'll just, like, next episode, zoom over to him scheming against everyone else.
Or, even worse, Bloodstar's gonna show up and be like, Hey, here's a fucking hologram of her fucking betraying your ass.
Hey, here's a Slash Driver. I have been seeing a lot of people thinking that Kamen Rider Rogue, because the magazine scan advertising the Hokuto panel was shown under Kamen Rider Grease, and the Sato panel was under Kamen Rider Rogue, some people are thinking that Rogue might be a Sato Kamen Rider, which means it might not be Gintoku.
Maybe, but that's going to be weird that he's called the same thing of another rider.
Right? But then think about the fact that Oz faked us out with Birth. Not entirely out of the question. Maybe it's something that he'll get eventually after the fact. But yeah, so they recruit Sento and Banjo, and he hands them these tiny little fucking security bracelets that are like GPSs and trackers and cell phones and all this and that. And then Sento, they're supposed to be like, these are sealed on, you can't take them off. And Sento dummies it and takes it off immediately.
It's like, wait, you're able to do that?
Yeah. And he just like tosses it. Just like the opening scene of a certain recent movie.
Wait, what?
Anyone who knows will know. Where were we? So yeah, of course, Gentoku's like, work for us and we'll clear you of all crimes. You know, the crimes that we made you commit.
Yeah, the crimes that you didn't actually commit.
The minus A team.
And then, like, when Sento refuses and tries to leave, the guards, like, arm themselves and, like, point at him. Meanwhile, there's a couple of guys in the room that are just on computers, and you just see them, like shrivel down, just like, oh, shit, dude, don't fire. We just work here.
You know what I thought about, though?
Hmm?
That's the shittiest way to try and get a person you want to work for you to work for you. Hey, work for me and fight a war or I'm going to kill you.
Well,
then
yeah.
Can use the belt, bitch.
Welcome to conscription.
Either work for us or rot in jail.
Welcome to conscription!
Yeah.
This is a thing that has existed in actual real-world history!
But the thing I was more getting at is, if they want him as a power, killing him is going to basically not work.
The thing is, I don't know if anyone has actually processed the fact that they wouldn't actually kill him. That's why he said, it's either this or go to jail. Because they're not going to kill him.
Of course not.
But they'll fucking hold him up at gunpoint like they would.
Yeah, well, that's how military threatens people. So yeah, after they leave and start talking about it, the three gentlemen from the end of the last episode run into them. The Hokuto Sanba Garasu. Now, one version of the episode translated that as the Three Crows, which is not entirely inaccurate, because apparently the Sanma Garasu in actual mythology are Tengu Yokai. So they're basically saying they're a gang of, like, ravenous assholes. So they've got sort of a mercenary feel to them, but we don't know what their motivations are quite yet.
Toku Sentai.
Yeah, basically. And I just love that, like, they're arguing and shit, and Banjo immediately just, like, smugly crouches down a little bit and goes, I got it! You guys are fuckwads!
You're morons.
Yeah. I got it! You're idiots!
Yeah. And the blue guy, Aoba, has, like, he pulls a J where he stands in front of the red guy while they're talking, and no one says anything about it. I feel like that's gonna be a running gag.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is that they're all trying to see who's the leader.
Yeah.
They all think they're the leader, but they're not.
So, all three of them transform into the Hard Smash Squad, I guess. Akaba as Castle, Aoba as the Stag, and Kiba as Fukuro, the Owl. Despite the fact that Owl's got goofy eyes, I actually really fucking love these designs.
They're good designs.
The only thing I don't like is the fucking maces on the back of his hands.
I kind of like them.
It's just a weird design choice.
I feel like it might serve better for them to be on, like, the other side of the hand, you know, for smashing.
Yeah. Unless they're, like, fucking projectiles or shit.
I get kind of a meteor vibe from them.
Maybe.
But the coolest thing is that Castle's, like, shoulder shields actually, like, rotate and turn into, like, battering rams, like a bastion. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, the minute I saw the shields turning, I'm like, oh, he's a full armor Gundam.
I wish Raven were here to get that joke.
Full armor Gundams have four arms with shields.
Okay.
That they can put in front of them.
Alright.
Feels like a gimmick on an action figure.
It is. Like I said, it's a Gundam.
And of course, Sento, being the fucking genius that he is, oh, let's go fucking base form against these obviously very powerful people.
Kamen Rider logic. See a new villain? Just go base form. He didn't transform into anything else this episode, except for, like,
Sparkling.
Yeah, well, that's because he's not the focus. We've got all these other people to introduce, and Banjo's new form. Speaking of Banjo, he digs out the Splash Driver, and they talk about the fact that the only jelly that he was able to make is dragon, because, quote-unquote, that's the only one that reacted. But then, like, Banjo pulls out the dragon full bottle that he still has. So if Banjo didn't know that the dragon Splash jelly got made, how did Sento make it without having the dragon full bottle?
Well, maybe...
And for that matter...
He could have had the data on his computer.
Maybe? But, like... Unless that is the case, my other question was going to be, if he used the dragon full bottle to make the dragon splash jelly, why is the dragon full bottle still a thing? Unless it's like, there's less of it in there now? Is it weaker?
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe he did the same thing that he did for Rabbit Tank Sparkling.
Yeah, that's fair. That could be a thing.
I guess I have to accept that.
Well,
the thing is...
We know for a fact
that he had to feed some of the liquid from Rabbit Tank into the Pandora Box essence to make Sparkling, so we know for a fact that there is less essence in the Rabbit and Tank bottles. But since it
also, to be fair, Banjo's fucking stupid sometimes.
I'm just gonna leave this here.
Yeah, I don't know. So, Misora goes out and watches some children cry as their parents are carted off to the hospitals.
Yeah, it's Godzilla all over again.
And as Banjo and Sento go look for her, Banjo runs into our new boy, Mr. Kazumi.
Is that his name? Kazumi?
His name is Soru Watami Kazumi, I believe. But yeah, he jumps off a roof and proceeds to punch a smash from his own army.
I couldn't see what the bottle was.
It was helicopter. I know it's helicopter.
It's
had RH on it. It's Rose
it's
helicopter.
It's really... weird that he used, like, a quote-unquote equipment bottle to punch something, and not, like, an actual this-does-shit bottle.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, dragon makes sense.
Oh, shoot pointed out, it's Sawatari Kazumi. Thank you. But yeah, he used the helicopter bottle, because as you see him punch him, you see, like, a whirling effect around it. And every single episode, we get a moment of, and now he broke my hand!
His legacy continues.
The legacy of Otoya. But then he's like, oh, wait, no, I'm fine. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I was expecting to break my hand, so I didn't have to go into work tomorrow.
That's horrible.
But yeah, he one punches it.
Got a problem?
Yeah.
Punch it.
Computer not working? Punch it.
Which I did that yesterday.
Afraid of the dark? Punch it.
Child not listening to you? Well, maybe don't punch that.
But,
if anything, just yell at the kid.
Well, yeah. If you do, use an open hand.
Open face club sandwich. But yeah, they don't ever explain why he one-punched a dude from his own army.
He said that he didn't want the war to end, the war to be like this. He probably didn't want the civilian casualties.
I guess. But, I'm looking forward to seeing more of this character, because all of the third riders in the last few shows have been the most well-written, so I'm looking forward to seeing where this guy goes. And based on some screens that I've seen... he's smiling in a lot of pictures, so I'm looking forward to having Otoya back, in a sense.
Yeah. Best dad.
So, Gentoku talks to Banjo through his bracelet, which, for some reason, is absolutely hilarious to hear his voice coming out of this tiny thing.
Okay. I thought the joke was going to be that since he was wearing the belt, he'd just take the belt off, put it by his ear. Hello?
Yeah, like, he thinks the belt is ringing first.
It cranks the crank.
Yeah.
It's a rotary phone.
Yeah. Hello?
One, 1, 2, 3, 4. He has to do it like for every number, and then they, at the end of it, not found. Shit.
Goodbye.
The number you are calling is not available. Please try again.
But he called me.
Son of a bitch. All right. So yeah, when Gintoku is talking to Banjo, there are flashbacks to when Rogue and Stark were talking, and they foreshadowed the fact that their plan from the beginning was to have Sento build the Sclash Driver and have Banjo be the one to use it, which explains why they framed him and involved him in this, but what it doesn't explain is why Banjo as opposed to anyone else.
Because he's an actual boxer?
That was my first thought, but the way these shows are written, it's got to be more simple, there's got to be more to it than that.
I don't know, maybe some bullshit like he's some fucking stupid shit where he's, I don't know.
He is my son and the one true governor.
I don't know, if anything, he might become, some sort of fucking god or something.
Not out of the question at these with these shows anymore.
Like, maybe he actually became, maybe he got exposed to the bullshit outside of the actual company doing it, and he's actually technically had it inside of him during the fights, and he just didn't know.
I don't know. At this point, it wouldn't surprise me if there's a Pandora panel inside him somehow.
He ate
it. It just comes out like someone from a Sailor Moon series. Like the heart mirrors.
No, it's his rib cage.
Oh god.
That's why nobody can.
They just shove bottles down his throat.
Ate it.
Like a Pez dispenser.
They just gently caress his chest with the bottles, and they get stuck.
You just like they line up while it's inside him, and you just see like the best match lights just come out of his chest.
It's just like he opens his mouth, just a little tiny light.
He just starts shooting beams out his mouth.
Pew pew.
So, the three Hokuto assholes show up while Sento is comforting Misora and applaud at the sad scene because they're fucking assholes.
Yeah, because Misora is like, I don't want to fight.
Well, it's not that she's just like, I don't want this bracelet because it caused all this war.
Why can't I take it off?
It's like the Twilight bracelet from Dodak.
Or it's the Omnitrix. Except Ben actually found out how to take it off, but we never know how he did that.
It's water soluble. You just have to stick it under the warm shower.
I'm sorry, but so, just go on a tangent quickly. How did Ben Tennyson off the Omnitrix? That bugs me.
He probably used gray matter to figure it out, since a gray matter was the one who built the damn thing.
No, he just like grew so much that his arm became too big and just snapped it.
Yeah, why do you think his new one's a belt? But so, there's a thing in this episode that bugs the hell out of me.
Oh yeah?
Oh, do tell.
How do the other two countries have bottles?
That's a thing. Like, they haven't, like Gintoku just tells them, oh yeah, there are 40 other bottles and they all have been purified already. I'm sorry, what?!
Yeah, because as far as we know, Misora's the only one who can do that shit.
Which is why, back to what we were saying earlier, I think that there are Faust-type organizations in all the other countries, and that Stark has been getting each of them to independently make the 20 bottles each.
Or maybe before...
Maybe Misora's just one of two, like, a whole, like, maybe there are two other people who have the bracelet. Like, maybe Stark, like, Soichi, after coming back from Mars... gave the bracelet to three people, one of which was his daughter.
Or maybe Soichi took her and him to the other two countries, did full bottles, then went to Gintoku.
And erased her memory?
Yeah.
Because they've talked about how, like, when he broke out of Faust to escape with Misora, he took bottles and ran, so it's entirely possible that there he had 40-plus bottles when he left. And, like, scattered them.
That does seem like a lot, though.
This is a man who has planned eons ahead.
No, just 60 full bottles.
60 cannon bottles. That doesn't count the non-cannon ones.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
God, that would be kind of difficult, you know, having 60 cannon bottles.
Every year.
How many best matches would you need?
Come on, at least with Ghost, they were like, fuck it, we're keeping it.
Every year they try and outdo themselves with the number of gimmicks.
Because think about it, there would be cannon.
Fuck you!
Thank you.
I knew that's what you were doing!
What? I haven't seen such a ludicrous gimmick since the Wizard Rings. There were so many of them.
That's because Wizard was cool. That's because Wizard was fabulous.
Fabulous. Come on, man.
Fabulous!
He had a dress-up ring. He wins. So,
there's a thing I have a theory on. What if Greece is it Hokuto?
Yeah.
Is the Hokuto purifier, and that's why he's the rider.
I could believe that. If we see a bracelet on him, that'll decide it. Which might be why he's always wearing that heavy coat to hide it.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's half like, cyborg.
As in, because he's the one who's able to purify them, he doesn't get the negative effects of the bottles.
Maybe.
Hence why he's able to use the bottle's essence in its purest form, the jellies.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. There's still way too many unanswered things, but we'll learn them as we go on.
Yep.
And then Bonjo goes Metallics.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so, then yeah. Bonjo becomes a Kool-Aid Jammers.
Okay.
Wielding the belt with the voice of Cell from Dragon Ball.
Cell?
That thing has a voice? It's hard to tell without the fucking subtitle.
Right? Until I saw the subs, I had no fucking clue what that thing is saying. It's so angry!
It's angry and auto-tuned. It's angry too.
Which is really, really weird because, like, when Bonjo is, like, holding the Splash Jelly and, like, turning the nozzle on it, it's, like, bizarrely adorable, and I hate that. It doesn't it doesn't gel with the belt!
Yeah, it's just really weird and hard to understand. It would be like if the guy who recorded the Isa belt showed up drunk. Red.
Feet on whatever. Rip, Morty.
Fist. I love you, man.
So, what I will say about the Henshin is the fact that a like vat of fucking Jello appears around him. It's weirdly kind of cool. But then it just goes to the other half of the engine, which is just fucking a light bulb jizzing jelly onto his face. Let's not beat around the bush on this. It's ridiculous, and it doesn't need to be.
Bonjo, what happened? You slimed me.
Yeah.
Can that be the thumbnail? Just Bill Murray, but just replacing
Bill Murray with the cross charge helmet.
Crosses charge helmet.
Bill Murray.
No.
Yeah.
No. Bill Murray with the Splash Driver, and that's it.
Yes!
Okay.
When he's slimed.
I haven't got the movie. I can take a screenshot of that.
Sure. So we get...
He splashed me.
He splashed me?
So we get Kamen Rider Cross Charge, or Cross Zed Charge, depending on how you choose to pronounce it.
God, that suit's ugly in daylight.
And Shu in our Discord chat points out that it's going to be worse for Grease. Because it's straight up robot oil.
Greasiest one. Wait.
I just got it! The belts are powered by lube!
Wait. Hang on.
Think about the helmet. He's riveted for your pleasure.
Would grease technically be a grease monkey?
Yes. I wanted to mention that.
No, he uses organic bottles. He doesn't use organic bottles.
There's a thing about that, though. So Sento's name has the word for rabbit in it. Ryuga's is obviously dragon. And then Saruwatari, whatever his name is, has Saru in it, which means monkey, which is a reference to the term grease monkey.
Yeah.
So that is actually a thing.
He's a grease monkey.
It wouldn't surprise me if he gets like a monkey-themed bottle power-up later.
No, he just
gets maybe he steals Gorilla.
I want a pet monkey.
Maybe.
I know gorillas are not monkeys, but you know.
Sawatari, thank you. But yeah, it has Saw in it, which is the same character used in Saru from Monkey, according to the wiki. So yes, Cross Charge shows up, proceeds to fist a tree, and then summons his Twin Breaker, which is a fucking golden nail and faucet handles.
Oh, during that scene I kind of laughed too, especially with the idea of ribbed for her pleasure when he turns it and gets the blade coming out. He's like, oh, I know what I'm using this for.
Nailed it.
Or hey, like, Misora.
What was the weapon's name?
Hashtag twins? Screwdriver. It's called the Twin Breaker.
Yeah, it used the Twin Breaker. Twin Breaker. Blur.
Oh, good. It's voice activated.
Oh.
Twin Breaker. I barely know her.
She has a twin?
Maybe that's what it's going to be. Fucking twins or some shit. Or
twins,
triplets.
Twins.
Just Grease is Misora's brother.
I thought about that.
Ooh.
I thought about that.
Connect
also,
everything.
Why haven't we had the screwdriver yet? Like, the best pun and work ethic ever. I mean, the glass driver has a giant wrench on it.
Right? Which, by the way, is the wrong way, because, like, it's... I said it on Twitter, but whoever designed this stupid belt apparently is not very familiar with lefty-loosey, righty-tighty.
It's Japan. Everything's backwards there.
I mean, come
good
on.
Point.
They drive on the right side of the road.
Or on yeah.
The side of the on road. The wrong side of the road.
And they wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
Ooh. So, yeah. Gets back with Cross, and, like, as he comes up to him, he literally kicks his ass for, like, going off on his own to do this. Which makes me, like, he's like, oh, you don't do it, oh, you idiot, oh, calm down, and calls him an idiot and all that. I think there's a drawback to the Sklash Driver, and that the reason he's been holding back from using it is that he doesn't think Banjo's ready for it. It does seem that Banjo's way angrier when he's using it, so maybe this thing, the driver, is, like, inducing something into him.
It also kind of seemed like he kind of sort of got whipped with it. When he was using it?
Yeah, and, like, when he first transformed, he was, like, cringing and like, there was, like, electricity effects and such.
It's the YouTube driver. It's full of cringe.
Yeah, which doesn't help because they're in a forest.
Yeah. Oh, God!
Moving on. So, the two of them do a non-actual Hisatsu double rider kick and knock all three of them on their ass.
And then Bat Dad just seemed to be hanging around.
Yeah, and then the three assholes apparently dropped the bottles.
Okay.
They dropped.
I'm glad you didn't get that.
Nope. They dropped Phoenix Robo, Smallful Wolf, and Kuma Telebi's bottles, which means we're gonna see those forms in the TV show.
So does that make Kuma TV or the Hyper Battle video canon?
I guess.
Oh, there's also another thing I noticed. Those were actual full bottles. The bottles that the three use are the Faust bottles.
Yeah, the Castle, Fukuro, and Stag bottles are Faust-style full bottles. So I'm curious to see if they work in the steam gun.
Ooh.
And not even just the toy. Think how awesome, like, steam gun users with those bottles would look.
Castle.
Oh, I want it. Oh. I want it so bad.
Castle, maybe Owl, be like a remold of Night Rogue. Maybe give him fucking owl wings instead of bat wings.
Yeah.
Stag Beetles, or the Stag Beetles, obviously there for all the fucking rider ones.
Like, I love the Owl Hard Smash, but if you look real close, its googly eyes are really fucking distracting.
I think the fucking bouncy balls on the back of his hands are.
Yeah. Well, next week we get to see, apparently, Phoenix Robo, Smuffle Wolf, and the debut of Grease proper. I know owls have big eyes, Shoe! That doesn't mean you make it look like that! There are ways to do big eyes that aren't stupid!
Minions.
You know, like all of Exade!
Well.
Moving on.
Say that.
Since Lane's not here, I'll have to do it.
I'll do it.
Thank God, I really didn't want to do it.
Yosha Lucky? Is that what we're doing?
So, the Q-Ranger episode opens with them talking to our old friend Hoshi Minato, who's thanking them and now is apparently supporting the Resistance.
Who?
The pop star.
Oh.
The one played by Magiello Beatbuster. Yeah. The first, like, third of this episode turns into a clip show because Pegasus reactivates and attaches himself to Spada, because what the fuck is Spada doing these days?
Well, it's because Spada made food.
9 vegetable porridge.
Also called shitty vegetable soup.
Yeah. Adding more vegetables doesn't save it.
But what if it does?
Adding more vegetables doesn't make it healthy.
Maybe turn that off. Aircaster, you've had your say. So, something that blew me away was when Pega saw Tsurugi and was talking to him, he immediately said that he was like, oh, the fucking space president or whatever. So my immediate reaction is, oh my god, Tsurugi wasn't bullshitting!
He was an actual president.
He was the actual president of, like, the space president. I don't know. What he was the president of doesn't fucking matter at this point.
He was the president. And the Star Wars.
It was his hat. He was number one.
It was me.
It was me, Dio.
He knew Dio.
I am not on board with that meme.
He is red.
Something's gonna be red in a second.
So I guess Ichi doesn't know the way.
He lost the way.
Speaking of finding the way, we got a flashback of how Tsurugi met Cuervo and how they escaped the prison.
Yeah, the minute we got that flashback, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you knew exactly where this is going. And I just love, like, as they're escaping, there's, like, some other aliens that are hanging out with them. And if you just, like, took a moment to pay attention to these people, they're such hilarious makeup jobs.
That guy's just painted green.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he was getting run down, one of that's in the movie, my bad.
Yeah. But apparently,
they work in that, too.
Yeah, we discover that since their first bomb plan didn't work, now they're going to manufacture dark planetium by using actual planetium and turning it into explosive. And I just love, while Anton's explaining this, the fucking Zero Go behind that's carrying him is just, like, emoting for him. Like, making gestures and shit. So my immediate thought after that was, he should just, like, possess one of them so this can be proper.
Like, my thought was just, like, I was, like, halfway through, I was waiting for the thing to go, uh-huh.
Nice bomb!
And then my other thought was, he called it his greatest creation. Wouldn't the robot thing be like, aww?
Hey, fuck you! Just leaves him on the ground?
Yeah, just throws him at the Q-Rangers, you take him.
He's your problem now.
He's your asshole.
More like Professor Asshole.
Oh.
Professor Aston.
I think mine was better.
Yours was.
So, they all, like, as the cave starts to, like, shatter and shit, they all, like, star change at it at once to, like, block the rubble. And then they all jump up this very small hole together, which is a problem by itself.
Which leads them to a quarry.
There's another really weird thing in this episode, but it's a little later on. It's really fucking creepy when you think about it.
So we see they meet the boss worm, which is like a palette swap of the death worm. Ooh, it's got colors, so it's stronger.
I mean, you're not wrong. Look at build. The smashes that have colors are stronger.
Fair. That's just the thing in fiction. in, like, hero fiction.
If it's colored, it's powerful.
Yeah. That's racist?
No.
You're judging them by the colors of their skin.
If anything, that would be empowering.
Sure. So, because Pega's going on about, oh, why didn't you fucking assholes show me how much stronger you've been in the 40 episodes since I've been here? Yeah. And that just gives them all the idea to use the different power-ups. And I love how completely unexplained it is for Hammy to just, like, have the Hikari Q-Tom in her hand. No moment of, like, hey, Hammy, here, use this thing that only I have ever used up until now. She's just got it, for no reason. So we get to see Shishi Red Orion, Hebit Sky Metal, Oguma Sky Blue, Taiyo Chameleon Green, Sasori Orange Ikakuju, and Pegasus Kajiki Yellow. And my god, they look great together. We even get a fucking roll call with all of them.
Yeah.
If I were adapting this into Power Rangers, I would make that a team from the future.
Like, new and roll calls and everything. It's like wallpaper smorgasbord.
Because we gotta get all those... We gotta get all those roll calls.
Hammy with the power of the sun, quote-unquote, was interesting.
It still looked just as stupid on her as it did on Lucky.
However, the one that I'm kind of weirded out about is when she was using the moon.
Oh my god, the moon one, Chameleon Green Moon.
When she became like a...
When she became sexy.
Yeah, when she acted like a fucking escort.
Kinda?
Like, oh, you need to be punished.
Real women are scary.
I'm just like, okay, and when does the leather happen?
You know what? I'll be completely honest. This one scene with her made up for all of her being useless and annoying the rest of the show. That was hilarious.
Not only that, she's seducing a monster that's been known to use tentacle attacks.
And it was a worm.
Yeah. That's not...
She's good at handling the worm.
Yeah, I can see the fan art now.
Fan art there must be!
Ooh,
the Dojins! Alright, but in all seriousness, I think Chameleon Green Moon as a suit looks pretty good. She made that power-up in particular, not the sun one, only the moon one, she made that one look really great, whereas it looks completely stupid on Red.
I also will say that Hammy's actress in that dress was nice.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I have no complaints.
Yep.
Besides the fact that she was fucking seducing a worm monster that had tentacles. We get it, Japan, you're into weird shit.
I was fully ready for her to just break into, like... Oh, what the fuck is that song? I had the visual in my head and I can't remember it. Hey, Big Spender, what's your number? I can't remember. Where the fuck is that from?
That's Hey, Big Spender.
Where is it from? Is it like... I think it's from 50 Goes West. The one where they're in the bar and like the female performer comes on stage and starts like seducing everyone. I wanted her to just sing that to all the Q-Rangers. I might be thinking of the wrong movie, but I think that's it. I remember because the Watson Mouse was getting drunk.
I mean, that is a song used in, like, a million things when they're in, like, casinos and shit, so yeah.
Yeah.
It is viable.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, and what else was really cool was Pegasus... I didn't think that Pegasus Kajiki Yellow would be a good matchup, but then you see him, like... throw a monster up in the sky and, like, fly through the sky and stab him with his fucking horn. That was awesome! I didn't think that would be a good match, but he pulled off a pretty nice attack.
You could say it was a best match.
Oh! Pegasus! Swordfish! Best match!
No, it has to be said with a question mark. Best match?
Best match?
And the winner is... Luigi?
No, the winner is DDD, who's now a candidate for ARMS. Jesus Christ, that art from Kirby Star Allies. So then, whatever, we get the big reveal that Don Armage is possessing Cuervo. We don't really know what the full context of that situation is quite yet. It seems like he's doing it willingly.
It might be both.
Some sort of symbiotic thing going on.
Like Venom?
Yeah. What?
Or Carnage? Or every symbiote that doesn't... Or every symbiote that's not on Spider-Man, because apparently every symbiote is a dick to Spider-Man.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I also don't like Endgame plan. We're just going to blow up the Earth.
Yeah, no, that was always what it was going to come to. As soon as, like, they actually explode the fucking planet, which was a great shot, by the way. And that planet was gorgeous, so I'm sad. But like
it looked like a knockoff Cybertron.
Yeah, exactly.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, so this is why the Autobots and Decepticons had to leave Cybertron. Secretly, it's been a prequel all along.
What was I, Dark Matter?
So the Cure Rangers put two and two together. If he needs planetium to turn into dark planetium to blow up lots of things at once, he must be going to Earth, which has lots of planetium, so he's going to blow up the Earth in order to blow up the galaxy.
That's a fucking stretch there, guys.
This was literally the only way it could have ended.
To quote Spider-Man, this is starting to sound like a really bad comic book plot.
This is a really bad comic book plot.
Yeah.
It gets worse.
Next week we see Jiro again.
Guess he finished all of his Netflix. We were watching the episode the other day, and we kept making the Netflix joke. Savage Caster was with us, and he's like, "What are you guys talking?"
Yeah, he had no idea about the comics. Like, Blaze in our chat is like, Jiro for Orion White. Justin him.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. If the kid grows to adult size in Ranger form, why don't you just get an adult?
Tell that to Power Rangers Turbo.
You know what they might do?
You got the Netflix, Kitama.
They might make another fucking Seiza Blaster, give him the little bear so the big brother can use the big bear at the same time.
That might be. That'd be neat. That'd be cool.
Brother Bear. Remember that Disney movie?
No.
Yeah.
With Bob and Doug McKenzie?
Oh, God.
As deer? And they were Canadian, eh?
And now on to our feature topic, which was Q Ranger the movie. The Geth Endeavor Strikes Back.
Yeah, now for the feature topic, which was Q Ranger. Let's fuck up Earth again. Oh, wait.
Speaking of fucking up Earth.
It was really awesome that we watched this movie this week because it also involves blowing up Earth.
Yeah, we were going to watch High School Wars, but then I was like, but the movie comes before it because continuity.
So it starts with them at the Geth Star, which is totally not the Death Star, which then proceeds to shoot out the Mirai Mars, which totally are not TIE fighters, especially since they're shaped like actual TIEs!
Okay, so that's two Star Wars references.
Count them along with us! So Ryu Commander is already fighting the three main generals, who are going on about reviving the destroyer god Kerberos. So they're trying to get the ultimate Beyblade from Season 2.
Or they're trying to awaken the God of Destruction. Wait, who would win in a fight? What's the mecha's name?
It's the Cerberus Voyager?
Carabios or whatever.
Kerberos versus Izzald. Who would win?
Oh.
Kerberos, it had more screen time.
Also, it grew bigger. We'll get to that.
Yeah, that's some contrived bullshit.
So, the Geth Endeavor pulls out an actual golden gun and proceeds to one-shot Sholanpo.
And flies off into space.
He just like weirdly drifts off into space at top speed.
Well, at least he didn't implode into himself like in Ninja Turtles 3.
Well, yeah, because in space, no one can hear you fucking make shitty comments because you're the fucking commander, but now, your back hurts a lot.
Before I make my next joke, anyone who wants to avoid Last Jedi spoilers, skip ahead a few seconds. So as Sho-Lanpo was flying out in space, we were like, what, is he going to force pull himself back in?
Just cue the John Williams Superman theme. He's holding his, like his morpher out as he flies towards it.
I mean, he basically has a moment that's almost like that.
Yeah.
But what the hell, Star Wars?
The best part of this movie was seeing the old Orion ship again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
You see it, and we're like, it's Orion before he became a fucking Pokemon.
Orion!
Alien!
Little.
So basically, the objective is collect the space Tide Pod.
Yeah.
More a Q-Ranger Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, the three spiritual stones.
Yeah. Q-Ranger Ocarina of Tide.
Can that be the title of the episode?
I was just thinking that. That's gotta be it. There you go. So, they have to go to three different planets to get the Cerberus stones. Planet Husky, Planet Bull, and Planet Dober. All dog planets. But the weird part is, Planet Husky was not the ice planet.
Well, that's just bitching.
I mean, one of the heads probably was a female. If you go by Billy and Mandy's standards.
I haven't seen Billy and Mandy in a while.
So, the green member of the DK crew, I forget his name and I appear to have typoed the name in my notes.
You mean Gorilla Diamond?
No, not the ice, not the blue one. The green one, the one with the face that had a giant...
You mean the pred alien?
Yeah, that.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
He proceeds to pull out what looks like either Battle Hopper or Kamen Rider Gil's bike and just race away. And here's where the thing happens that I completely blacked out that was even happening until I saw it again. They pull out the Gyosha Kutama and turn Garo into fucking bike!
And thus it becomes a pod, or not pod race, a speeder bike, a speed bike race.
It's basically a pod race.
All right, yeah. Number three Star Wars reference.
Yeah, and for those of you wondering why I don't have a lot to say about this, TV Nihon's quality is bullshit on my computer. I watch this, like, movie one frame at a fucking time.
Ugh. That might just be your computer.
I'm like, we watched TV Nihon's and it was fine.
I literally typed in our Discord chat, ow, my eyes.
But what was worse, the Q-Ranger movie, really slow quality, or episode 2 of Ultraman Genga's quality?
This. There was only like 3 scenes I was able to watch properly of the entire movie. Everything else, I was just listening, rewinding back so I can kind of read the subtitles.
That sucks.
Yeah, I was going to make screenshots, but I didn't want to assault my eyes that bad.
So meanwhile, on Planet Bull, because bulldogs and actual bulls are a thing, Champ is in a wrestling ring. Wrestling?
Yeah, with Gorilla Diamond.
Yes, the Omo Endeavor. And of course, Champ immediately cheats by transforming.
I mean, they never said that it wasn't a rule.
No, but, like, he was a robot wrestler before becoming a Q-Ranger, so you'd think he'd be honorable about it. But...
Also, at the most, him transforming just gives him a helmet.
Yeah.
He just wanted a smaller head.
I mean, that's fair. He can't turn his actual head.
Right.
Sorry, I knocked my headphone out. Hold on. Meanwhile, on the third planet, Planet Dober, Balance just, like, shows up and has it. They find the stone immediately.
Because he is a thief.
Yeah.
He just used Crazy Diamond to break the rock and fix it again.
Thanks, Professor.
It's another It's a joke. Yeah, you're welcome.
See, I'm learning.
You are learning. I'm doing my job.
Worst elective ever.
Now, don't forget there'll be a pop quiz at the end of the episode.
Damn it.
Good thing I've got my pop right here.
You get the advanced quiz.
And actually, I've got another actual pop here that I forgot to drink.
Screw you, this guy's zero on the test.
A Coke Zero.
An Episode Zero.
An Episode Zero, Episode 4.
Episode Zero, wait.
The Awakening.
HD Remix.
The Awakening.
The Electric Boogaloo. How many more titles can we give this?
Episode zero, episode 3. Snipe in Time.
So Champ uses the Champ Special, which is effectively his version of the fucking Butt Buster.
Pile Drive.
And then shouts out, I am the champion! But of course,
He's not wrong.
But of course they cheat and steal the stone anyway, because fuck this movie.
What was the point? Yeah.
There was no point. We just wanted to see Champ robot wrestle.
We wanted to see Champ do the one thing we told he was able to do.
Yeah, right? I sure enjoyed that 3 minutes. Then, at best.
That's what she said.
When Lane and I was watching the movie, we were making it.
When you was?
Yeah, when we were. We came up with a title for it. It's like, oh, Power Rangers. Like, we were coming up with, like, goofy names. Like, Power Rangers in Space 2. Power Rangers Deep Space. 9. Because there's 9 of them. There's 9 Rangers.
Fuck!
Power Rangers in Space. Even deeper.
My contribution was Power Rangers in More Space.
More Space.
Power Rangers Found Galaxy.
Power Rangers, there's definitely more space.
Power Rangers still space.
So we get to find out the Geth Endeavor's backstory. He pulls off his helmet and turns out he's fucking Zayid Masani from Mass Effect.
It turns out he's Anakin Skywalker.
Basically.
Now you must go, my son.
He looks like a cross between Zayid from Mass Effect and Cable from X-Men.
I was gonna say his like full suit looks like M. Bison got turned into a fucking Power Ranger monster.
Yeah. So he just puts down the ultimatum, bring the rest of the stones to Earth.
And then summons Shenron.
Yeah, also in the flashback where he's getting dragged away when they reveal his backstory.
Oh yeah,
those are some great... Hoipian?
His name was Hoi Koro, but Sho keeps calling him Hoipian. By the way, at the start of this movie, there was a 72-hour doomsday counter, and after... This movie's only actually half an hour, and two-thirds into the movie, apparently that elapsed about 71 hours.
Where did you guys spend off most of those hours?
Traveling to the other fucking planets.
Wow. And I love it.
But I love that the people that were dragging him out were just people with blue skin, with the people with blue paint on their faces.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And Lucky busts out this one line where he's like, "We won't give up till the last second." And my immediate follow up to that is, "And then we'll give up."
Yeah.
All right, we're done.
So they all show up at Earth on Earth to confront the three of them. And hey, look, Raptor's here this time. Hooray.
Yay, Raptor's actually doing something.
And then Kotaro shows up, who hasn't been in the movie at all until now.
Hey, you're not a Spirit Ranger. You're always part of the team.
And of course, because he's not dead, Sho Lanpo jumps in and snipes them.
Yeah. No. You want to know what... You want to know what Kotaro was doing? He's making sure that Jiro was... he was checking up on Jiro's Netflix streams.
He popped in to hit the continue playing button because Jiro didn't know how.
Yeah.
Which button?
Also,
this button.
I don't remember exactly when it was, but sometime during the episode, I want to say it was Lucky said New Hope.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, he goes on about how he was angry because he didn't have hope in his life, and my immediate response was, you're just angry because you didn't watch A New Hope!
Yeah, and there's like, yeah, but we're the New Hope, and I'm like, God four. Damn it.
Four more, and then they have enough for all the Star Wars movies.
So, they all
hinge. I mean, technically speaking, the Force of Kerberos awakened.
Yeah.
Five.
So, they all transform and start fighting, and I love how four of them just, like, gang up on Omo, the Gorilla Diamond one, and they just, like, stick their guns into him and just, like, fucking pour their ammo, like, beam gangbang.
Pew, pew, pew.
When in doubt, fuck up the monkey. They were using the Harambe Q-tama.
No, don't do that.
Yes, that's where Harambe went.
So Geth does manage to summon Kerberos, who starts, you know, blowing up the earth.
Oh,
you
yeah, know, that's some Geth tribe bullshit.
Yeah, like, it starts, they summon it in order to start blowing up the earth. But why do they need that? Because they already had the Geth Star, which is going to destroy the earth in the next hour.
But they needed a ship to get off the planet, Ichi.
Yeah, but they didn't have a Q-tama to control it.
Well, they didn't plan ahead.
They didn't think that hard. So they just they summon all their Voyagers, and then Tsurugi shows up, who hasn't been in the movie till now, for the express purpose of dropping the Heracles Q-tama into the pool table, so that Lucky can use it to have the strength to rip his own fucking cockpit Q-tama out of Shishi Voyager and dunk it into Cerberus in order to fucking tame it. Holy fucking shit! Is that contrived?
But of course, don't you know anything about science?
Don't you know the best way to tame dogs is to slam dunk a ball into it?
Because he's a ball dog.
No!
Basketball.
Well, one of them is. God damn it. It's so stupid, but he makes it work, because Lucky!
Because he's Lucky.
And then, I kind of thought he was going to use the Heracles Q-tama to fuck with the Zord, because, you know, Hercules.
Hercules.
Yeah, right? Oh my god, I just got it! That's why you use Hercules, because Hercules fights the Cerberus!
Yep.
God damn it.
Fuck, I'm counting that as a Star Wars reference. Bing!
Yeah, Hercules is owned by Disney. Hercules had a dad who he didn't know about until he grew up.
Fuck,
and then fought alongside him to take down a greater evil.
So, like, the funniest thing ever is, like, as the Geth Star is, like, heading towards the Earth, it, like, shoves the moon out of the way, out of its orbit.
Hell, the Geth Star would have killed everyone before the impact.
Right?
And yeah, just right there, just like the little pink, like if you had a space of just a little pink of the moon on the Earth, the entire planet gets completely fucked over because of water.
Yeah.
But because they see that the moon is out of whack now, they think, oh, we'll just use our own moon. And Lucky goes moon form, which then causes, like, Cerberios, which is, like, combined, they've tamed it and combined with it. So they have, like, the Megazord. So they use the moon form to power it up even further, which grows it to the size of the fucking planet. And then the Earth becomes its own Q-tama!
Honestly, that's kind of cool. I would buy an Earth Q-tama.
You know what? I will admit that if they did put out an actual Earth Q-tama with a globe on it, I'd probably buy it too. I think within the context of the movie... Globes. Within the context of the movie, I think it's fucking stupid, but objectively, the Earth Q-tama is actually a pretty smart idea.
Just save that for the finale of the show.
Who's to say they won't?
Oh my god, Cerberus Voyager.
You watch, they'll just like pull the Cerberus Voyager out of nowhere.
Yeah, Doraemon shows up, Cerberus Voyager comes out of nowhere, eats him.
Just that is, they're gonna fucking ass pull themselves a fucking... Here it is, the greatest Q-tama ever. Earth Q-tama.
Just like the fucking fusion switch from Forza.
And it resets the Earth back to normal.
but like...
It shrinks the Earth into the size of an actual Q-tama so they can't blow it up.
Oh, God.
So they can't blow it up.
But like, you see some shots from like Earth ground level of the very, very giant Cerberios, and you can see how giant its fucking feet are. And my immediate thought there was, there's a lot of dead people under that.
And
yeah, that's doing a lot more damage than it needs to.
Right?
Death Galleons had that.
You could have just stood in the ocean, man.
Right?
But no.
So the Geth Star starts to make its final approach, and Cerberios blocks it and tries to, like, push it back. And in the process of doing so, they manage to knock the Earth out of its own rotation as well. Like, you can see
Everyone's
the Earth,
dead.
Like, pushing back.
Everyone's dead.
They're gonna fuck up the fucking solar system.
So it's the Q-Rangers' fault we have climate change.
Yes!
They fucked up the moon and the Earth.
The inconvenient truth. Who's the Q-Rangers?
And then, like, they start shoving the Geth Star, like, back where it came from, and I'm just remembering Futurama. It's someone else's problem now!
Yeah.
Wait, what? The garbage ball comes back. Who cares? We'll all be dead by then.
And I know Lane, if he were here, he would mention how that scene was reminding him of the world engines from Shadow Raiders. Which I guess, yeah. So...
And
as
with this power, they went to go defeat Donna and Marge and save the galaxy. No, I'm just kidding. They split the power in it.
Can I just say, I'm really glad that they didn't fly, like, the fucking Dorado Voyager into the fucking Geth Star to blow it up?
I'm so kind of surprised. But instead, they just, like, turn the Cerberus Voyager and just plow right through the whole thing just with that.
Giggity.
And now for the release.
So, I guess this means every satellite orbiting that side of the planet is now gone.
Everyone's cell phone connection is broken. The internet is now gone.
And after that was done, the Dragon Balls split up and scattered across the planet.
And now we got Fun Ball again in Q-Ranger GT.
In a year.
Yeah.
But wait, hang on, they're alien. They're alien Q... balls, so wouldn't they work on, like, a different time?
I don't know. We don't even know if they stayed on Earth.
They're probably on different planets.
Maybe they went back to their respective planets?
Maybe.
So that no one can find them again.
Ever!
Oh, no. You know what? They went to Hokuto,
Seito,
and the other one. Yeah.
And that's the sky.
One was red, one was blue. The yellow one just has to turn green.
Man,
sure.
Man, no, it was red, blue, and... It was red, blue, and green.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Man, who knew...
Yeah,
because they're the same colors as the Ocarina of Time Stones.
And they matched up with the colors of the three Monster Generals.
Oh, right,
yeah. Q-Ranger was just a prequel to Kamen Rider.
It's almost like Sentai really likes red, blue, and green.
Well, red, blue, and yellow they really like.
Well, anyway.
Unless your name is Q-Ranger.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Shu in our Discord is like, how many times do they have to fuck up the moon before it gets boring? Let's remember that this is a parallel universe from Zoroger.
Yeah, but could you just imagine? Just how fucked up the moon is throughout all the years.
Yeah. It'd be great if, like, one of the upcoming Sentais featured, like, a team that was from the moon, and they just come down to Earth, and they're all pissy.
Moon people?
No, they're an evil team for, like, the first 20 minutes, or for, like, the first 10 episodes or so, because it's like, you guys have attacked our planet, you guys have destroyed our planet, you guys have had a bigger planet hit our planet, you're a satellite, not a planet. And you're saying our planet isn't a planet.
How many more times am I going to say planet?
They're actually from Pluto, but they moved to the moon after Pluto wasn't called a planet.
Does that make sense?
Read a fucking wiki article. Anyways, so yeah, that was the movie. For a half hour excursion, I thought it was pretty good, actually.
For an extended episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. I also thought it was interesting that both this episode and this movie both involved
blowing up the Earth.
Blowing up the Earth and the Sun and Moon Kyutama doing something really interesting in the moon form.
Yeah, that's true. We tend to get really hammy. We tend to be really lucky with coincidences like that.
Oh, did you say what the counter was?
Oh, no, I didn't. Interestingly enough, now there were 6 uses of Yosha Lucky in the movie, and 1 in the episode, which brings our count up to an even 300.
Jesus.
300.
300 Luckies! And you can see our week-by-week counter of them in the show notes that we post on our Patreon.
500.
So, if you would like to come along on this journey with us, you're welcome to check those notes on the Patreon.
I think if the movie was an hour instead of a half an hour, it would have done a bit better.
Well, we don't have time for that because Exit True Ending is more important.
Yeah, also, if it wasn't for the fact that the movie was us, let's rip off Star Wars.
rip, Key Ranger.
The really interesting thing is this movie happened before Last Jedi came out.
So right, better Star Wars movie than Last Jedi.
Yeah, but it was, hey, here's your mentor getting killed during a climactic battle with the main bad guy. The main bad guy is somehow related to the good guys.
Again, like
any fiction plot.
Because when you're writing a story, everybody's got to be connected somehow.
Yeah. And unless you're doing D&D, then everyone's fucking strangers because your players don't care to interact with people.
But everybody's rich and all their parents are dead. And they're OP.
Kinda.
All right, well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Oh, shit, it's over?
Blaze makes a good point here. Wait, what do you mean this movie was all about ripping off Star Wars? I thought that's what Star Wars was now.
No. Star Wars nowadays just doesn't care if it's good or bad. They already got your money.
Well, they don't have mine.
I paid with scene points, so...
I just didn't see the movie.
You don't need to see the movie.
I know I don't. I'm not a big fan of Star Wars.
Fuck Last Jedi.
I'm not a big fan of any of the fucking space shit.
I mean, I wouldn't call myself a Star Wars fan, but I enjoyed it.
No, okay. It's not that bad of a movie, but it's just a boring movie to sit through.
I had fun.
I mean,
I liked it.
I get that people like the whole, I get that people like the whole science fiction as a plot and all that jazz. I just don't really care for Star Trek or Star Wars. Like, futuristic horror movies like Alien, technically The Thing, if you want to get technical.
Jason X.
The one complaint I have about the movie, and apologies
We don't talk about Jason X, though he is... Even though he is coming to Friday the 13th, and I'm kind of hyped.
The one thing I'll say about the movie that kind of irked me, and apologies for anyone who cares about spoilers, the whole Finn and Rose subplot ended up being completely fucking pointless.
Like most subplots in movies anymore.
Yeah. Anyways, this is not the Star Wars podcast. Thank you all for listening to yet another episode. As usual, you can find the primary source of our hijinks at castranger.podbean.com. Please check out our Facebook group, facebook.com/rsranger, rscastranger, that is. Tweet at us at Ixie Studios. Check out our merch site, where we have t-shirts, hoodies, cases, tote bags, even pillows.
Oh, yeah, give me a link to that so I can start telling people that I'm an Ultra Ranger.
It's on the Cast Ranger page. There's a link that says merchandise.
Okay.
And also, last week I added Goldcaster's emblem finally, because that was one that apparently slipped my mind, but it's up there now. Hooray!
Hey. What's the difference between gold and yellow? Gold's actually funny.
Gold is a gradient. Well, they're all gradients, but this one's a more obvious gradient. And I like how it turned out, actually.
Well, when you want to get a hold of gold, you go AU.
Don't get it.
AU is the periodic table of elements
symbol
for gold.
As you said it, I was realizing,
it's
AU.
Funny.
That joke was gold.
Done.
So, and also please make sure to check out our Patreon, where in exchange for some neat goodies, like inside looks at our show notes, hints, or an advance notice of what our future topics are going to be.
And an orgy.
Sorry?
And don't forget about the Cast Ranger orgies.
Of course. As well as in first bits of information regarding the upcoming Cast Ranger video game, please consider pledging to help us make the show better for you. I think that's about it. So thank you all very much for listening, watching, liking, favoriting, subscribing, sharing, telling everyone you know to come listen. Woo! And we'll see you next week. Hopefully Lane won't be sick by then. Radio Sentai Cast Ranger is brought to you by our generous patrons, Oliver Nilsson, and viewers like you.